It's good to see everyone this morning. It's good to have an opportunity again to preach the Word of God to you this morning. Topic for this morning's lesson is prayer. I chose a topic that steps on my toes a little bit, as I felt I needed to grow more in this area, and perhaps there's somebody that hears these words that will also feel the same way. All Christians should be striving every day to seek out our Creator's will and to do those things that please Him. Even though this verse that we're going to read in a moment speaks specifically to youthful individuals, those of all ages should be remembering what our Father wants us to do with the remainder of our days. In Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and in verse 1, it says there, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And then in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, verses 1 to 2, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, 1 to 2, give an example here. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And then in Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 2. Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 to 2. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." It's easy to get caught up in the words of men, the doctrine of the present times that espouse that there are many right answers and ways to conduct ourselves. However, as our Creator has said, there is one source of truth. That is the Word of God. We can look to our great example, Christ, as He prayed to the Father in what He said in John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." We can measure ourselves to determine what it is to be righteous by the words that our Father has preserved for us and the examples contained therein. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed." We should heed the warning that this set of verses alludes to, that we can hear the word that has been preached to us and do nothing to change that what is within our spiritual hearts. We are told the things that we do or say proceed from what that is within our heart. In Mark the 7th chapter, and starting in verse 14, we're all familiar with this verse, Mark 7:14. "And when he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are they which defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, Are ye so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats? And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For with For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. In light of that, we should consider what our Father has said in regards to prayer, to obey Him for our spiritual well-being and continued growth as one of His children. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 14, it says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We'll consider several different points, Lord willing, in this lesson about prayer. As with everything, whenever we look into God's word, we should let it speak for itself without applying our opinions or ideas to it. In 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 20, "Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." As I've alluded to earlier, we need to be conducting ourselves righteously before our Maker and do the things that He would have us to do. Our Father has stated that His word is truth, and we know from Titus 1, 2, that God cannot lie. If we ask any small child if people, animals, or things appear from nothing, we'll most likely get the answer that they don't. It often takes a lot of education of the world to undo the truth of God's creations. In Romans 1st chapter, in verses 20 and 21, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." In Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, in verse 4, it says, "For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God." And we know in Genesis 1:1, we're all very familiar with that verse, and then skipping down to 27, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them." In Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2, "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth." Again, in Psalm 124, verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth." Amos, the 9th chapter, verses 5 and 6, "And the Lord God of hosts is He that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is He that buildeth His stories in the heaven, and hath founded His troop in the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is His name." We can clearly see that God is the creator of all things, including us, our talents, and our intellect. Further than that, He has a distinct purpose for us. Ephesians 2 in verse 10, it says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." And then we're all very familiar with Ecclesiastes 12, verses 13 and 14. Our purpose: "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." We know that the Son spoke nothing of Himself, but did all the will of the Father, so we can make the logical conclusion that we read in Matthew 28 is the will of the Father for us as well. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. In Philippians 2, in verses 1 through 4, Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, if there be any, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem each other, esteem other better than himself. Look not on every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. In Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 8. Micah, the 6th chapter, verses 8. We sing a song sometimes that contains this verse. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, and do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2. Ephesians 5, verses 1 through 2. Be therefore followers of God, as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ has also loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Why all these verses mentioning the power of God and what he would have us to do? How does this even relate to the topic of prayer? All the word of God is useful for our edification and interlocks together for the strengthening of our faith. Since we have established that God is our creator and that we are his creation, it is only right that he gets to make the rules of how we are to live our lives. In Isaiah, the 29th chapter, verses 15 and 16, Isaiah 29, verses 15 and 16, it says, woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? And who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding? Again in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, Isaiah 45, verse 9, woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth, what makest thou, or thy work? He hath no hands. Again, in Isaiah, the 64th chapter, in verse 8. Isaiah 64, 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou art our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. One of the principal things we must consider that our Father has in mind for us is that he wishes us to pray. We can see, along with the full armor that we are supposed to put on every day, that prayer also is an integral part of being able to stand against our adversary. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Matthew, the 26th chapter, and verse 41, Matthew 26, 41, it says there, "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." In Luke, the 18th chapter, starting in verse 1, it says, Luke, the 18th chapter, starting in verse 1, "And he spake a parable unto them this, to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, There was in the city a judge, which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because the widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continually coming she weary me. And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth?" In 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, starting in verse 14, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit." We don't want to be led astray by the world either, by by whom we should be praying to. The only being that we should be directing our prayers to is God the Father. Jesus stated this when he was speaking to the apostles before his crucifixion. In John 16, verse 23, John 16 and verse 23, "In that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. In the book of Matthew, we find the instruction that Jesus gives to the apostles and us in teaching us how to pray. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 8. Matthew, the 6th chapter, verses 5 through 8. "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be ye not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask of him." We read in the Psalms that it is God the Father that hears our prayers. Psalm 65, verses 1 and 2. Psalm 65, verses 1 and 2. "Praise waiteth for thee, O God, in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come." Turning backwards, Psalm 5, verse 2. Psalm 5 and verse 2. "Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray, by the authority of Christ we are to pray to the Father." In Ephesians 5 and verse 20, says, "Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Holy Spirit has a role in our prayers to the Father as well. We are told in Romans that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Also, there are certain things we should keep in mind when praying, just as we are instructed in James when we are making plans or talking to others. When we are praying, everything is as the Lord wills. James 4, 13 through 16. James 4, 13 through 16. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, verses 40 through 46. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. We should be praying for specific things when we go to our Heavenly Father. He has told us to petition him with our wants and desires in accordance with his purpose for us. James 4:3 says there in James 4:3, Ye ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. In 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, 1 John 5, 14 and 15, And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desired of him. We should be praying for help in our in our spiritual growth to come to be that perfect man. This includes wisdom and understanding of his word. In Colossians the first chapter, verses 9 and 10. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Still staying in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 6 and 7, Colossians 2, 6 and 7, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We need to be thanking our Father for the prayers he has answered and the abundance of mercy and gifts he gives us each day. Again, referencing 1 Thessalonians 5:18, we should thank God always. In 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter, it says, 1 Chronicles 16:34, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. We should be praying for our brethren and our enemies as well. James, the fifth chapter, in verse 16. James, the fifth chapter, in verse 16. It says, Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And turning to Matthew, the fifth chapter, Matthew 5, 43 and 44. You have heard that it has been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. In the example where Jesus was teaching the apostles to pray, he has mentioned we are to pray for our physical sustainment. In Matthew, the sixth chapter, verses 9 through 13, Matthew 6, 9 through 13. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We should be praying for government officials and those in authority so that we can live quiet and peaceable lives. God has set up these governments, and they are his ministers to do justice according to his will. In Romans, the 13th chapter, starting in verse 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, in verses 1 through 2. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. When we repent, we need to petition our Father for forgiveness of our transgressions against his law. Again, in Psalm 25, verses 6 through 11. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can read of many examples of righteous individuals praying within God's word. He has given us these examples for a pattern to follow, the strengthening of our faith, and to encourage us. Moses, a man which God has said was of men the most meek, spoke a prayer to God on behalf of Israel when they had murmured against him and God. In Exodus, the 15th chapter, you can see this, starting in verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hark to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. And when God was about to bring the people's destruction from their unbelief and their disobedience, Moses intervened on their behalf. In Exodus 32, verses 9 through 14, Exodus 32, 9 through 14 says, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them. And I will make of thee a great nation. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy Why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt, with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest of thy own self, and says to them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. David, a man after God's own heart, wrote many psalms that are prayers and praises to the Most High. Not only that he prayed to our Father to forgive his iniquity in the matter of Bathsheba and Uriah the Hittite. In Psalm 51, verses 1 through 19, rather lengthy reading, Psalm 51, 1 through 19, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in thy inward parts, and in thy hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with thy hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that thy bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of its righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then that shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shalt they offer bullocks upon thine altar. In all our afflictions, the Lord will hear our prayers. We can look to Hezekiah, a righteous king of Judah. He prayed fervently to the Lord that he would be cured of his ailment. The Lord heard and granted his request. In 2 Kings chapter 20, starting in verse 1, 2 Kings 20, verse 1. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thou saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, turn again, and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, take a lump of figs, and he took it and laid upon the boil, and he recovered. Of course, we can look to the great example of the Son of God, for which he was always found to be praying to the Father. We've already read part of Christ's prayer to the Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, but there are other places for us to read of him praying. And then one of those places is at his baptism in Luke 3, verses 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Also, before Lazarus was raised from the dead, silently, and then was spoken word when he thanked the Father for hearing him. In John, this is found in John 11:41, starting in verse 41. John 11, starting in verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with graven clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus said unto them, Loose him and let him go. And the ultimate example of praying for those that had persecuted him was when he hung on the cross. In Luke 23rd chapter, verses 33 and 34, Luke 23, 33 and 34. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. As we come to the conclusion, I'd like to make note that this by no means exhausts the study of the topic of prayer, rather as a jumping off point to do further reading and studying of God's word. There are a couple of final points that need to be mentioned, though, or I'd be a little bit remiss. We should not be praying just in times of need, but rather we should be praying in whatever situation we find ourselves, good or poor. How sad it would be if we just went to our Father in prayer when we needed something or found ourselves in dire straits. Again, in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it says, pray without ceasing. This means that we should be devoting ourselves to going to our Father for help in our life, thanksgiving of the gifts he gives, and to acknowledge him as our God. How many of us don't even realize when we get in the car to buckle our seatbelt before driving? Even more so should we find ourselves in all things saying a prayer to our Father. We also have a responsibility as parents of younger ones to teach our children how to pray. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 through 9, it says, And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thine soul, and with all thine might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thy eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Although this was to the children of Israel, this applies equally to us right now. We need to be teaching our children the Word of God, which includes His commandments for prayer, instilling a true love for God and doing His good works early in our children is one of the greatest works we can do as parents. We have an opportunity now, as the Lord has afforded us, to offer His invitation. We can assist you if you wish to begin a life as a servant of God and belong to Christ Church. If you repent, confess, and be baptized in water, you can be added to His church. As we have been studying about, there is also an opportunity for us to pray for you as well. If anyone has any spiritual needs, please won't you come and let us help you.